Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 116 for February 25th, 2020. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com, and today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 40 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list together, and we're going to go through as many of those as we can today. So we are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and today I have arranged for Jeff Gibby of MetaStock to join us for the first time, and Jim Kenny is back to moderate, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Jim.
Okay, thanks, David, and welcome, everybody. There's been a very active 48 hours, that's for sure. Volatility has really spiked up, and a lot of things that were looking fabulous have pulled back quite a bit. So it's very interesting to have Jeff Gibby with us today, because he'll be sharing his input and his observations on what he's seeing, plus some of the technical tools that he works with through MetaStock. So without further ado, for newcomers who are not familiar with you, Jeff, a little background on yourself and what you guys are doing down there at MetaStock.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having me today.
You bet.
All right. Well, okay. So quick introduction. My name is Jeff Gibby. I've worked at MetaStock for now for 23 years in a row. It's a good job. I absolutely love it here. Let's see. Right now, I started in inside sales, so I talked to a lot of people about the software we create here. I did that for a decade. It was awesome. The next decade, I spent running our partners. So I spoke to a lot of the people in the industry, created a lot of products for MetaStock. And the last 3 years, my official title is like Director of Sales. So there's a quick intro to me. Right now, I'm kind of in charge of our sales team, but I've had a lot of experience showing the software and talk to different people, traveled around the world. For MetaStock in general, real briefly, when I started 23 short years ago, we were owned by Reuters, who then became Thomson Reuters. About 7 years ago, we actually bought the business back from Reuters. They are now called Refinitiv. We just work on creating software that helps you scan the market, helps you test different trading ideas, helps you forecast the market, helps you kind of come up with the right trades at the right time. We're proud of it. We've been rated number one in our price category for charting software, standalone charting software, for like 23 years in a row. So there's a bit of an intro to me. That's probably all we need to kind of get in with that.
Sure. And at the end of the broadcast, you'll be able to explain how people can get a hold of you, and of course, what special offers you might have for the crowd here today.
Absolutely. Sure.
All right. Well, we've got 15 stocks, and what we generally do is go through about half of them, and then throw the ball in your court, and we throw the ball in your court to maybe go over some of the markets or stocks that you are going to look at. And after that, we'll finish the list. But let's start out with obviously one of the biggest stocks that everybody's interested in, and that's Apple, which again had moving averages on the 200-day, as you probably well know, way underneath the market, and obviously the market is closing that gap quite a bit on this.
We're going to do some moving average testing, what I'm seeing here, right? Yeah. I thought it might be a good idea to kind of take a look at the market right now, the Dow and the S&P, and kind of explain kind of the way I'm looking at things personally.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's not a recommendation to buy or sell. Being that we've been working with technology, gosh, I've been here like 23 years. So I saw the 2009 collapse. Mm-hmm. I've seen tons and tons of collapses. And usually what happens when I kind of come in and see these dramatic falls, I kind of go in and say, well, how did this compare to back then? And I don't think I'm going to go quite into that right now.
Right.
But let's talk a little bit about what I'm kind of seeing on the chart a little bit, kind of what I'm thinking about in terms of market. And again, this is just personal opinion. Right now, what I'm looking for is the market to stop bleeding. And when it stops bleeding, I'm going to be looking to buy in that order. So the indicators that we're looking at right here, what we've got on the top is this is a template that's built into MetaStock. It's just one of the methodologies that's included. It's actually included for free, but it's called the Rahul Mohinder Oscillator. And it's a trend following system. I'm going to kind of try and go through the rules a little bit while we're working at stocks. But the first one we'll talk about is this trend indicator, this green indicator on the top. It's designed to look at the long-term strength. And it's the first thing that I typically look at when I look at a stock. Right now, I'm going to tell you that indicator is above zero, which means that the RMO is in a bullish phase. So right now, I'm looking, as long as this stays in a bullish phase, I'm looking for this market to stabilize a little bit. I'm looking to go shopping when it does. And that is a process that's going to take a little bit of time. The next thing I'm looking at is kind of like, this is our long term. So long term, I've got a bullish outlook. Short term, obviously, we've had a little bit of weakness the last couple of days. This swing trade number two is our short term indicator. And what you can see is that for the last 2 days, it's been down below zero, this little cyan pink, whatever color you want to call this, it's been down below zero. So right now I'm bullish long term, but I'm bearish short term, which is a great time to stay out of the market until you see some strength in one direction or other. So the way I kind of see the market playing out from here, and the S&P is going to be very, very similar, is we're either going to stabilize or we're not. And that's really common sense, right? It's either going to go up or it's not. I kind of have a feeling right now that it's going to stabilize. It's going to take a little bit of time to shake out. But as long as this kind of starts to stabilize now, it's going to stay bullish long term. In that case, as soon as it kind of stabilizes, we start to get some bullishness short term. I'll be looking to kind of buy in. Right now, I'd be in the market just being on sell. I don't see it more significant than that. If we go bearish, which we're pretty close, you can see that it's kind of coming down here pretty quick. In that case, I'd be looking at a different outlook. I'd be looking to go short. I'd be looking to put in stops above that. So that's what I'm seeing right now in the market. The S&P is not that different, that much of a different opinion, really. If we look at it from a long-term perspective, we're still bullish. We're still part of this massive multi-year upward movement. We've had a really big pullback. This is not an insignificant pullback. We haven't tested the 200 yet. Again, as long as we stay kind of in bullish territory right here, I'm going to be looking to value buy on the bottoms. So that's kind of the way I'm seeing the market. How did that explanation do? I usually spend hours talking about kind of how the indicators work.
Well, I think the indicators are coinciding with the support area. That 3,000-3,050 area seems to be an area that is very important to hold. And it looks like the green chart at the top is telling us that it had better hold if you want to stay in a bullish mode longer term.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it may not.
It's very interesting how indicators can be coincidental at the same time, you know?
Absolutely. So let's look at Apple, and we'll kind of use the same kind of thing. I can actually even show you how on an individual stock, you could use this to kind of go in time. This is actually one of, like I said, it's one of the methods that was included in MetaStock. It's also the first one I used to start trading real money with Apple. So it's a big part of the Dow. Mm-hmm.
And a big part of the S&P and the big part of most indexes, right?
And a big part of the country, right?
Right, exactly.
And that's where I get a little bit more nervous. I read an article the other day that said that Apple, they're looking at if this coronavirus actually continues. I was reading an article that said that we'll have an iPad shortage or an iPhone. iPads are out of, they don't make those anymore, but they'll have an iPhone shortage.
And the 5G would be delayed possibly, right?
Yeah. Then that'll have ramifications. Again, though, I'm looking at what the market's doing. It's falling apart right now. We're well above our 200-day moving average. Right. We're only setting lows that are at 300. And if I look back on the chart, that was back in December. We were seeing that only a couple months ago.
Right.
Not terribly concerned at this point. Again, though, we're getting pretty close to going into a bearish zone. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. This is kind of where I can kind of come in and talk a little bit about how these indicators actually could generate buy and sell signals as well. We don't have any. I looked at all 20 stocks. You'll be surprised. Nothing's given a buy today. But on a trend following basis, maybe on a short, we'll look at more. But I want to kind of explain how Rahul kind of plays with these indicators to give stops and how he looks to get entries and stuff like that. So I'm just going to go back right here. I'm going to kind of identify this as a part of the chart, and because it is part of the chart. And I'm going to kind of just talk a little bit about, so we've got we talked about the long-term RMO that gives us this green ribbon that says the RMO is bullish. We talked a little bit about the short-term, and that's the purple indicator right here. I'm going to get rid of this exit swing signal because I don't think we'll have time to talk about it in a lot of detail right now. But what I want to talk about is the relationship between like this pink indicator and the blue indicator. Rahul Mohinder calls this this is the short term. This is the medium term trend. And what he's really looking for is what he calls a shift of momentum or to kind of look to where to get into a long trade. So what that means is when our short term momentum goes down below our long term, or our medium-term momentum, you're going to get a sell signal on a chart. That happened right here on 8/23. Okay, but if I'm looking at this, you have a sell signal that appears on the chart in the middle of a bullish trend long-term and a bullish trend short-term. And the rule of the trend is it's your friend until the end, and trade with the trend, and you know all those kind of like cliches. So we're actually kind of ignore this completely. When this comes as a buy signal, though, if we're looking at a buy signal, if we're not into Apple at this point, what we'd be looking at is we'd be looking at a buy signal. So you have that shift of momentum upwards. You're looking at a short-term bullish movement and a long-term bullish movement. So if that's the case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow Rahul's rules, which I'll teach you. I'm going to actually kind of put in an entry signal. So right here, is where I look to buy Apple. Okay, and what I'm looking at specifically is I'm looking at the high of the day I get the signal and the high of the day before, and I just want it a little bit above the higher of those two values. I put in a stop loss, okay, because you always want a stop loss. And what I look for is a pivot low. So that's a low surrounded by two higher lows. So when I get into this trade, it's going to be at 214, 30, 43. If I get out of this trade, it's going to be at 203. So that's going to give me about a 11 point stop loss on there. And then I'm just going to kind of get into it. It did trigger into this. I get that shift of momentum to the downside again, but we're still long-term bullish, still short-term bullish. And when you get the momentum shift in the row in the same direction that you're going, that's when you'd actually move your stop. So it's a very, very simple system. I've done probably a couple hundred classes on it, but that's what I would be looking at for a trade. So as we look at some of these stocks, I can show you where the trades have happened recently. If we're looking at Apple right now, one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to be the king of obvious today. It's either going to stabilize and start to go up, or it's going to continue to fall apart. Okay. Right now, what I see is this shift of momentum. It's happened right here on the 27th. You had that shift of momentum to the downside. It hasn't really, we would be right now, we're ignoring that because we're bullish long-term and we're bullish short-term. But if this starts to, right now it's bullish short-term. If this starts to give us any more weakness, then we're going to go ahead and take a short position on it. Okay. But what we want to see first is we want to see this RMO to switch bearish. I don't see that happening. I will say that personally, I'm an undying optimist when it comes to, and sometimes that's a bad thing, but that's why I use rules to trade, right? But what I see is we'll have this sideways movement as the market kind of figures out what's going to happen. You're going to have a shift of momentum to the upside, and you're going to have an opportunity to buy Apple on sell. We're not there yet, okay? And it could continue to follow apart. I'm just going to trade based on what the indicators are saying, okay? And if I had done that, we'd be long from about 186 on this chart, and we'd probably have a stop loss to right about here at the biggest, okay? There's other ways you can move up your stop. I probably would have moved it up between 186 and 330. But that, regardless of how you're playing this, you would have been long during this whole dramatic event. So, all right, any questions? Should we move on to Amazon?
Yeah. With regards to right now, your opinion would be, or your observation would be, is too early to buy and too late to sell, that type of thing?
Well, it's too early to buy and it's too early to sell. If this continues to get weakness, though, you're gonna have an option to do one of the other. If this continues, well, the reason it's too late to sell is, or too early to sell even, is we're still in a bullish zone. I'm not buying in a bullish zone. I want to trade with the trend.
Right. So you buy the pullback.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Correct. Right, and that's usually what you're going to do on this. Like if you look here, you had a pullback here that allowed you to try and buy here, which is where our example was. You had a pullback into here that allowed you to buy, pullback into here that allowed you to buy. This is a fairly long-term system though. So if we would have bought this, we would have probably been managing a stop loss from right about here, actually. Manage a stop loss and probably be stopped out at this point.
Right. You know, many of these stocks are similar in that they got way away from their moving averages and they're coming back towards them. This next one up, Amazon, is another poster child for that because it ran all the way up to almost 2,200 on a good earnings report. And then basically it's coming to fill in all that gap right now.
Now, the question is are the 200s going to fill? And that's a question that that you're not going to get an answer to. It's too volatile right now. Amazon, same thing here. We did have that shift of momentum just a couple of days ago. It's no different than most of the charts we'll be looking at today. We're waiting for it to stabilize and buy the dip, or we're waiting for it to go bearish long term.
A little bit of no man's land right now.
Yeah, absolutely. What a fun day to do this, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no, the fun day would have been 2 days ago when you got the sell signal.
Here's where we're at with Tesla. And Tesla is one that I'm actually actively watching. You've got an active buy setup on Tesla. I'm not sure that it's going to do it. If we were to kind of look at kind of some of these charts back in the past, I'll just point out right now, if we had taken this December 11th trade, we would have probably triggered in on the 12th, put a stop loss in place, right? Right here is where we would have been moving a stop. So we would have held this whole all the way up. It's had a bit of a pullback. Here's where we'd be moving our stop is on 219. And we would have moved it. I always use the most closest pivot low. Now, pivot low is just like a low surrounded by two higher lows. Right here is a pivot low. Mm-hmm. So here's where my stop loss would be with Tesla. I'd still be long on this thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. What I'm looking for, and I wish I would have been long on this thing because like you always get these stocks that go crazy.
Right.
I actually am pretty bullish about Tesla right now. You had a buy signal that was generated here. It's pulled back a little bit. Here you have this change of direction. I think Tesla is one that's actually on my personal watch list. I'm waiting for it to kind of bottom out. I'm waiting for this shift of momentum, and then I'm going to buy it, and then I'm going to put a stop loss on it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I feel about Tesla right now. Yeah, again, the volume, not a recommendation.
The volume on Tesla today is not inordinate, so people are not panicking on this stock at all as far as comparatively to other stocks.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the prettier charts that they see, right? Or that we've looked at today. That's one of the things that like a lot of experts like to look at. Like I was thinking of Elder, they want to see stocks that still perform when the market's falling apart because people aren't panicked about them.
Well, this next one is also a momentum giant, and that's the Virgin Space one, SPCE.
Let's go ahead and go to that one. And here we go.
That's had a little bit more weakness than Tesla, I think, but not much.
I haven't looked at this chart. It's not on my list at all. I have the least sexy, the probably trading methodology you've ever seen, but that's okay with me. Right now we're bullish long-term, we're bullish short-term. There's not really an opportunity coming in here to buy this. I'd want to see more of a pullback. We haven't even had that shift of momentum to the downside.
Right.
But if I was watching this since 12/11, again, this has the same symptoms that we were just looking at. Mm-hmm. It's not falling apart while the market's falling apart.
Right.
So here we would have bought, here we would have moved a stop. We'd still be holding this if we had bought this. It's too late to buy it. I want to see it give me an actual pattern that it's going to buy.
Something interesting here is the stock barely moved today on a net basis, and the volume was 41 million shares, which is more than twice the normal volume. So that's a lot of activity for something that actually went nowhere today.
It's... What do you usually look at? I'm curious in terms of like your... So for me, I'm usually looking at an average volume of like 50.
Well, I'm just saying the 50-day moving average of volume is 17 million shares. Today it did 41 million. So that's an inordinate jump in volume, right?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So anyway, the next guy up is going to be FEYE.
Okay, FireEye. I don't like this one. I like it as a short. So what you're seeing here, you've got like your long-term, this has gone bearish. This is actually a pretty good, I'm going to take this moving average off of here for a second. Mm-hmm. And just kind of talk a little bit about how I'd be trading this if I was trading it. So right here on the 19th, we had a signal that we had that shift of momentum. We just got out of this long-term bullish phase, which it wasn't there for a very long time. But right here is where we kind of got the signal. We got the RMO bearish. We got the long-term. We've got the short-term bearish, which is why you have a red bar here. And we got a signal to get out or to get short. Okay. So in this particular case, if we were trading that based on Rahul Mohindar's rules, I'd take a short as soon as it crossed down below this 1552 area. Again, when I'm doing a short position, I'm going to look for a pivot high. This is a high surrounded by two lower highs. So that's a pivot high. The short on this is not going to be the stop on this. It's going to be about $2 on a $17 stock or a $15 stock, right? So it's a pretty wide stop. Mm-hmm. At that point, you're looking at your risk reward because I wouldn't want a tighter stop. I don't like to set my stops based on like what I can afford to lose. I don't think the market cares.
Yeah.
This is where the high would be though. This is where the resistance would be. That's where I would say your stop needs to go based on kind of the rules.
So you're going to put your stop where you believe it should go. And then if the person who was looking at it did not like to risk that much money, then he would just view it as a no sale then.
Or we go on to the next one.
He'd move on to something else. Well, this Rahul Mohindar is not familiar to everyone. Is there any background on who he is and how he came up with these things?
Yeah. So So Rahul Mohinder, he came into our, okay, let me tell you who Rahul is. He is a good friend of mine, actually, over the years. We, when I started, and that was like, again, 23 years ago, he was a dealer of Metastock in India. And he's been extremely successful. Like we've got my boss and the president of the company or dad right now doing an Indian tour. But he's been very, very successful training people how to trade in India. And he's always been a Metastock user. He was in our office about, it would have been when 10 came out. So like 2010, probably. And we asked him to show us what he was teaching people how to trade. In India, his sales were through the roof and people loved him. This was one of the methodologies that he showed us, and we just have we bought it from him. We've included it for Metastock for ever since then, so for 20 years almost, 10 years almost. And it's actually the first trading methodology that I spent money on in terms of my first live trade was in this thing. I've also shown it probably in about maybe thousands of demos, probably dozens or dozens of countries on different stocks. It works pretty well. It doesn't, I'd say it works just roughly about like 75% of the time on 75% of the issues, I would say. It's important to kind of eyeball it and see how well it works on kind of the stocks you want to trade. Like, so for example, with we're looking at FireEye right now, what I would do is I'd kind of go in here and see how it was behaving. I don't really like this stock the way it's behaving because you notice that we're going, there's a lot of uncertainty. This is jumping all around. This is probably one I wouldn't actually trade with it. But if I was trading it, we'd be looking at, we'd be in a short right now with a stop way up here at 17 and a half.
It looks like the indicators above clearly are rolling over a bit. Well, the next one is another Cadillac of Microsoft. And again, as the S&P goes, seems like Apple and Microsoft go. So big run up and then a nice sell off here. And is it time to start taking a bite of this one or like others? Let's see if it's
still long-term bullish too. So let me look at just a long-term view here, right? So we've had, if I just go back, Microsoft's been in a bullish phase conservatively since right here. Right here, we've been, right here is 106. It's climbed to 195 and now it's dropped down to 168. So it's been in a huge, massive bull run that's running on 2 years now, since the early part of 2019. During that time period, if you're just following RMO, you'd only be looking to take long positions the whole way up. And of course, with stops and protective stops to protect your profit on the way up. What I'm seeing in Microsoft is going to be the same thing. We've had a nice pullback. I don't own Microsoft. This isn't a position that I trade. But if I was interested in it, I'd be looking for this shift of momentum to position a trade. I think the market's going to be a little bit sideways for a little bit, but that's a perfect time after. The way I'm looking at it is everything is on sale right now. So I would be compiling that list of stocks that you want to buy into, waiting for a little bit of market strength. And I think that's a little bit of the Dr. Elder in me. We always tend to, for some reason, have Dr. Elder doing a webinar with us when the market's falling apart. And he's like, yeah, I'm building a shopping list right now. Yeah. And he's usually right to be doing that.
You know, that is the way it has been. Big drops, if you bought into them, have worked out. There's no assurance that continues, but that has been a philosophy that has paid off in the past. The Microsoft moving averages. The Microsoft moving averages are at about 164 and 144, the 50 and the 200 day. So while it could stop at any point or continue at any point, there's a couple of numbers there for the moving average people.
Yeah, and I'm going to throw them on.
And
the
one we basically hit yesterday, so that was the 165 area ballpark. Now the question is will it make a deeper cut and close the rest of that gap, or is that about all you're going to get out of a company that everybody seems to love? You know, like it's hard to believe people even sell it. It's been such a big winner, huh?
Yeah. The way I see this with the 50 on it, it seems to be bouncing off the 50 to me.
Yeah. That's why I noted that the first level of the moving averages at 50 seem to be holding up so far. And if the other shoe drops, you've got some down there at around 145 ballpark.
Yeah. So what are you thinking in terms of this market in general? I've done all the
talking. I've been thinking basically what I've been telling people is essentially that when we went up to 3,400, that area, in my view, was going to be an exhaustion simply because the advanced decline ratio was not confirming the high. The Russell and the the Dow transports haven't made a new high since 2018. Your valuation got up to almost 20 on the P ratio on the S&P. When you hear 50% of the people aren't going to work, factory workers in China, and 70% of the stuff comes out of the supply chain there, and then you had a 92% drop in car sales and air travel and everything like that, it just seemed to me inappropriate for the market to continue higher and just put blinders on to all that news. Now people are coming out, which I think is why we're getting more of a sell-off, that they can't even tell you what they think their earnings are going to be. So when you have a PE ratio and you have no idea what the E is, that's not going to get people more comfortable. And then you know how it works. Once the algos get involved and once the passive investors start hitting the sell button, plus everybody else, the order imbalance is tremendous. You know, how many people are coming out versus going in? Obviously, it's a very big order imbalance, and that's how you drop 2,000 points in 2 days. So, you know, my feeling is the 3,000, 3,100 area, you know, is my line in the sand if you want to remain longer term bullish. If we take that out and stay under 3,000, 2,900, I think that people could be in shock that the run might be over, because the GDPs going into this time frame was lousy worldwide. And I don't think they're being aided by this virus. And so you already had a weak situation, and the U.S. was the only game in town. And now they're talking about 1% GDP here for the first quarter. So as much as people like to look past it and say it's only a Q1 phenomenon, there's no assurance of that. And that's why so many sure. people are bailing out. So my feeling is, it's like you were saying, and this machine is saying, that as we approach this 3,000, 3,100 area on the S&P, you know, you'd really want to get some reasonable support down there. Because if it goes through there like a knife through butter, that would be very discouraging.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, you know, I'm not too surprised that it rolled over, because, you know, I thought it would roll over. But as usual, it rolls over a lot faster than I would prefer. Because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think people like to see the VIX above 30 and 40. And I don't think they like to see 2,000 point moves in 2 days on something that they hold on to. Some people hold on to stocks, obviously, as a part of a retirement plan or a part of a life savings, I'm going to live on it plan. And nobody likes to see those plans going up and down, you know, 10,000 feet in the air, up and down. They like the plane to be going a little smoother than that.
Sure, absolutely.
And that VIX, I'm sure you watched the VIX. The VIX has been so low that you know, the complacency, I think, couldn't get greater if everyone went asleep at the wheel. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We were at 10 to 15 VIX while we're at these extended levels on the S&P, extended level on tech. Guy from JP Morgan made a good point. The tech contraction here was very probable because of the difference between oil and tech, and the stock market valuations has never been greater. And so there was a lot of signs saying complacency, overvaluation, earnings may not be there. And obviously in the last 2 days, people have made a decision to reduce their exposure to stock.
Fair enough. that's a lot of... heavier market and analytics that we kind of look at that's some good detail.
Well, this is that, yeah, you're talking about the technicals here. I was just talking about the general fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You know?
Sure. I'm glad to hear about. Thank you for the insight.
And of course, a lot of that fundamentals that I'm talking about are in the price. That's why we're fading, because, you know, obviously there are concerns about earnings looking forward.
Yeah. Okay.
At any rate, and again, the technicals sometimes give you the signal, you know, before the fundamentals actually kick in. So, you know, the fundamentals could be one thing, but if the technicals are still saying buy, 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 you can't fight the tape, right?
Oh, you don't want to fight the market. Right. And you don't fight, what was Warren Buffett's quote? You don't fight the Fed either, right?
Yeah. So, but there's another thing. If things don't make sense, they won't last. And I think that's basically the story of the last couple of days. You
know? Well, it certainly seems to be the story of Walgreens right here.
Yeah, well.
Which was the next stock on the list.
I guess people are doing a lot of online buying and not as much going into the stores, I guess.
Oh, retail? Retail's hurting? That's news to me. So if we were looking at Walgreens a few days ago, then we would have been positioning a short on it.
Yeah.
Right here is where we got the sell signal, 220. We would have put a stop loss, or we would have got in at about 51.29. We would have put in, again, a stop loss.
Yeah. And so, you've been getting sell signals on this thing for 2 years now.
It's been, for the most part, we had a little bit of a bullish kick right here.
Yeah.
But it's been bearish since pretty much the whole chart you're looking at.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of Metastock, and that's that's the beauty of the technicals is, you know, the technicals are just going to crunch the numbers and the indicators and spit out what it says. It's not going to be an opinion type situation.
And yeah, well, and that's the thing is, like, if you talk to a pure technician, they're always going to say the stuff is built into the price, right? You're going to see these kind of stuff built into the price. I like to look at fundamentals, but I always make my decision about what the stock is actually doing.
Yeah, exactly. So, they follow the money.
Man, Roku looks a lot different than last time I looked at it, though.
Well, I mean, it's a wild one. So, yeah, how did the meta stock stuff work with there? Because we've been as low as 55 and as high as 176, and now we're back to 118. Today was an up day, so that's a pretty good.
We're short on it. I mean, we're bearish on it right now. Yeah, but it did a pretty good job. Anytime something kicks pretty well, and I don't want to say that this is kind of like a one trick pony for meta stock. This is just one of the methods that is built in.
Okay.
There's hundreds in meta stock, but right here, if you're looking at RMO, this went bullish here. Nice run up. Again, you're only taking longs this whole bearish time. It's kind of starting to get weak right here.
Right.
So right now, if we're looking at it, you've got an active short again.
Because the green, the Raul Mahinder indicator has turned to the south side, right?
Mm-hmm. Right here, it turns south right here on 218. Uh-huh. One day before the last one we were looking at, right? Walgreens. So you had that change of momentum that gave you the sell signal here. You would have shorted it here. But the stop loss probably right up here. So you're short if you're following Roku. And the last time we were looking at this, we were full-blown bullish on it. It's a different stock.
You got some lower highs there that would be also favoring the sell.
Yeah.
But okay, the next guy up on here is FULC.
Almost sounds vulgar the way you're saying
that. Oh, it's therapeutic, so it must have been doing well, and now people who turn that name in want to know, is this a stall on a bull market or is this a turn? You know,
one of the more popular ones. I haven't heard this one for a while.
Yeah, therapeutics. Anything with therapeutics has definitely had a pretty good run on in many cases.
Well, long term we're bullish, but it does mirror a lot of the other stocks here. We're bullish, but we're just went short term bearish.
Yeah.
So it had a nice move up. Whether that will continue and whether this is just kind of like one of the stair step patterns is a crystal ball.
Yeah. And people use this, and then maybe do they bring in option strategies? Like, say you were an owner of this and you said a little bit of a sell signal here. I think I'll sell some calls, or I'll do a collar strategy where I sell some calls and buy some puts to try to bracket my equity. Do they combine this with other tactics?
Oh, that depends on the customer. I can tell you some demographics. So generally, I'd say our customer base, about 60% of them trade stocks. About 40% of them trade options. And now these numbers are going to be more than 100% because people usually trade more instruments. About 32% of our database right now trades ETFs. About 8% trade futures, and about 22% trade Forex. So personally, I do a lot of options, directional strategies in it, but there are methods in here that like, for example, if somebody wants to do like non-directional plays, we have a lot of Don Fishback's working here, and he's huge into doing like kind of non-directional calendar plays. And we have some systems that are built around that. So with MetaStock, I think there's about 50 full-blown built-in systems. This is just one of the ones that I prefer. And we do have the ability, like with our engine, to go in and we can say, okay, well, here's the systems that are included in MetaStock. I want to test those. So every time you get a trading signal, buy. And then when they come in and then sell when the rules indicate I should sell. And you can actually take a strategy like that, test them against each other, and test them against like all of the optional stocks at once if you want to. So you could. There's really an ability to go in and do some pretty serious testing in the software with what we call our enhanced system tester.
Well, we've gone a little bit beyond obviously the halfway point, and we've gone over I think about 9 companies.
More is than there... I thought we would.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, before we go any further into the water here, are there any stocks or any sectors or any commodities or anything that you'd like to share your opinion and your observations?
Just what we've already kind of talked about with the markets in general. Generally, for me personally, I'm not typically trading anything more serious than like an ETF. So when it comes down to it, for me, I'm usually looking at DIA or SPY. I'm a fairly conservative trader, as you can probably tell with this method that we're using. And I don't have any picks.
Yeah, you're today. Not doing too much day trading and things like that, eh?
No, the way I say it is like depending on the day, I have between like 2 and 4 kids at home. I'm usually right. working about 50. I'm looking really to kind of manage long term funds and a shorter term trading. Account, pretty much when it comes right down to it.
All right, I'm seeing some pop up questions. On GILD. Let's put that one up there because that's Gilead Sciences, and I wouldn't mind looking at that myself.
Let's
because they were supposedly getting involved in some type of antidote to this virus, but today they
wow,
didn't
look at
do
this.
As well.
Yeah. this is kind of what pops out on the chart for me.
Mm-hmm. Like, looked like it. Well, it came back and
like,
filled in
that
gap.
Let's go back a little further. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looks constructive. So we did. We have been up there for the last. We've been kind of range bound for such a long time on this.
Yeah, but the green one positive up top, the Mohinder mm-hmm. oscillator. That's not a bad thing if you're bullish.
And then yeah, this looks pretty good because I don't know that I'd necessarily run out and buy this one, but it's doing fairly well. It just popped out of a fairly big channel too that lasted a couple of years. So for me, I don't have any signals that are active. The last one we had was right back here. We haven't really generated anything new.
Right.
So I'd say a key level though that I'd be looking at is the 68
for support.
For support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about Teva? I have some interest in Teva, TEVA, and I noticed it was still going green today despite all the red. TEVA is a generic drug company out of Israel, and it has been doing pretty good. How does it read right now? And a little connection to Gilead with these drug, you know?
We're bullish long term. We're bullish short term, and we would have bought back at the high here, yep. So like $10. Yep. So we'd be long right now on yep. Teva. But
and where would your pullback be? 11 and a half?
Right now. Right now, we haven't pulled back enough to actually even generate a support level. Now, there are a couple of other indicators. I had taken them off a little bit because I didn't know we'd have a chance to talk about it. But mm-hmm. this is about a 30% raise on this stock, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
sometimes the RMO doesn't get specific enough. Like it'll go for a while and it doesn't pull back enough and people don't get that comfortable with it. Look right. at this too. I point this out. Look at how long this was in a bearish trend.
Right. Oh, yeah. So
and
it's also
the
bottom
whole time, line. Again, we were just looking to short this thing and take money out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when this works, it works pretty well.
Yeah.
If we were looking at kind of just the recent history, basically we would have bought at 10, like I just said.
Right.
If you're in a long position, you want to get in a stop, this is a little bit of a more reactive indicator that you can use. So in other words, we moved up to 13. And the way Rahul says it is if it drops down below the blue line and goes back above it, you can put in a stop. Okay. So if we're using this one, I don't usually use this one,
okay.
but when it starts to go up and you want to move up a stop, this is a good one to use. You would just put in a stop right here. So I'd use a pivot low right at that point right here. Okay. I'd have a chance to move it up right here. So this is how people can use it if they want to get a little bit more active about putting stops.
Yeah.
Right here where it crosses up, I'd put it below the pivot low again.
Right.
When it crosses up again, it's going to go up below this pivot low. So
now what about adding? Would you wait for 1150 or 12 to add or?
Now, Rahul, if you like this system, good. It's very simple. Yeah. It's very easy to use. I'd recommend you go through Rahul's video because he does talk quite
okay.
a lot about these. For me personally, and he says, yes, you can add. So if you had some positions that were maybe hung over from back here and you wanted to add some more positions, mm-hmm. he says you can do that. I actually prefer not to.
Yeah.
I like to buy them back here at the start of the trend as opposed to as the trend's kind of getting a little bit more established.
Right.
One of the things that I like to do in the software when I'm looking for things to trade is scan. So we have a scanner in here that allows you, if I wanted to find an RMO setup, yeah, I could run a scan that would go in and find a bunch of stocks for me.
So what you're saying, the scan would maybe bring forward stocks that look more like the setup where you're buying this at 10 and it may go up as opposed to buying it after it's gone up 30%.
Correct. Yeah. One of the scans that I can run, I'll just show them to you real quick because I might as well. I'm in here. So right here, this is kind of the charting. This is kind of a bit of a watch list. This is our market scanner. So if I come into it, I can go ahead and click on it. And I'm just going to kind of come down here. These are all the different types of scans that you can run. Certainly there's tons and we've been working on this stuff for like 20 something years. So you can go in and say, well, it doesn't really matter if you're an RMO trader. There's a lot of stuff in here that just show you stuff that's moving up real quick or down real quick, right? Or things that are breaking through support or resistance. But the RMO scans, if I want to find something that has just went into a bullish zone, so that means it went from RMO bearish to RMO bullish based on this green indicator, I can click on that. And then what I'm finding is just stocks that kind of have exited kind of a short-term or a long-term bearishness and they're now starting to go bullish long-term.
I got you.
And then I can take the results of that scan and I can send them through a new blue. So this will look for it to go long-term to short-term, and then it'll also verify that it's blue. So we'd be looking for something right about here at EVA. So if I wanted to run that against all of the optionables, I just click right here. This is all of the 4,300 optionables. I go ahead and start the scan. It's going to make a list. I'm interested to see if there's actually anything in here to take us, you know, with the market behaving the way it's behaved.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with them.
Yeah. So here it's running. Oh, it's on the other screen. I'm trying to pull it over. Can you see this?
It's running. It's going.
So you see the because I was a little bit concerned. Yep. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it's run through about 1,800 of them. It's rejecting at about 50% of them.
Okay.
The way that this would run is it run through those ones, and then it would look for the new blues, and it would give us the list. Except for I set it up wrong. But that's kind of, let me go ahead and go back a little bit. I'll show you how I set it up wrong. If in multiple expiration options, what I want to do is I want to filter the list first in place. So I want to use the results from the preceding scan. So it figures out which ones are in a bullish zone, mm-hmm. and then it takes the ones that are in a bullish zone and also make sure that they're blue. And that's a good way to run this scan. So.
And when people get involved with MetaStocks, you have a study webinars or whatever to explain how the data works.
Mm-hmm. Because
you're obviously very expert. You're very expert at jumping around the thing and knowing where.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, a guy off the street would need some training, and you provide that training as well.
Yeah, I don't want to talk a little bit about that. You might have noticed that the side went dead. That's on purpose. I'm just changing. One of the things that we actually do is, and now you should be able to see a non-enlarged presentation screen. Can you see?
I see your name saying you're going to share your screen.
Do you see characteristics of risks of standardized options?
No, it's okay, it's just black right now.
It does say that it's paused. Let me hit resume share, or maybe new share. Let's try that. Okay, share.
And that is the risk disclosure that you were talking about. And
okay,
there it
okay,
is.
Good, yep, good, good, good. Yep. So one of the things, there's a picture of me, by the way.
Handsome as ever.
Yeah. So one of the things, this is also the presentation I normally go through when I'm talking about UPI thing. One of the things we actually do, so we have two different price points for MetaStock. One of them includes a Zenith real-time, and I actually think I want to set up an account for you to play with because it's actually been reviewed as like a Bloomberg terminal, but for $150 a month. Mm-hmm. So we basically have the Refinitiv news service. If you're interested in looking at broad markets, and you know how much a Bloomberg is, it's like $2,400 a month.
Right.
So they've spent basically, to give you some numbers on that, they've spent $1 billion just creating the platform. They support it with 3,000 full-time reporters and like 300 different news bureaus. It is it's what used to be Reuters News. They call it Refinitiv News, but it's a $19 billion company that specializes in providing banks and brokers data. So that's included at $250 a month. Also, the MetaStocks included at $250 a month. And that's a way you can try it on a real-time basis. The end of day, which would include data for the market, but it's just MetaStock. It's not the billion-dollar platform. It just is what I basically showed you today. And it's just that at end of day, it's only $69 a month.
Okay.
So what we do, yes, we do have support that's available. It's right here in our office. It's in Salt Lake City. The software has been rated number one for 26 years straight right now. What we do is kind of like an offer to kind of help people get started is we'll let you try it for 3 months for basically the cost of 1 month. So if you're doing the end of day option, it's about $30, $20 to $30 a month to go. But that'll include like MetaStock. It includes the data for the region that you're interested in. That's for most people that's listening, that's probably North America. That includes like all of your US data, Canadian data, South American data. It includes futures. It includes Forex. It includes options. There's also like Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and Asia Pac, in case you're listening from overseas. We actually, what we'll do, it says right here, white glove installation support. We actually set you up with one of our support reps. They have a 2-hour long appointment. So most of the appointments don't take 2 hours, but they set aside 2 hours to give you a phone call and walk you through the whole software. In addition to that, we have the what we call our Unleash the Power of MetaStock. It goes through like our power tools. It talks about like how to do system tests, how to scan the market, how our forecaster works. It's a full blown walkthrough of the software. And this shouldn't be on here. I'm not actually actually planning a boot camp, but there's lots of classes that are included. I meant to take that off of here. But you can get this 3-for-1 offer. It's, you just give us a call at 800-882-3040. If you have questions or if you just want more information, you can chat online with one of our guys here. It's metastock.com/saleschat.
Perfect. Okay. What do we got here? We got about 5 minutes. You want to try to hit the rest of the stocks real quick?
Sure. Let's look at, let me go ahead and exit the screen share here because I'm going to have to switch back.
And people should write that number down and that web address there so they can reference that.
Yep. Yeah. 800-882-3040 or metastock.com/saleschat. I'll get you to one of our live operators are standing by.
Yeah.
Share screen. All right.
Well, there's a lot to chew on there. So it'd be very nice to have somebody explain it to you.
Yeah. And there is like one of the things I love about representing Metastock. Number one, we've been rated number one for, that's a lot of number ones, right? Mm-hmm. We've been rated number one for like plus 20 years now. It's such a good company to actually represent. The other thing that I tell people is it's not a software that you're going to outgrow. So over the last decades that I've actually been employed here, we've seen companies come into the business, companies go out. They had a company that was selling a moving average solution that was like $3,000 as a one-time cost. They're no longer in business, but it's just a software you'd buy and grow out of. Right. The thing that I've always liked about Metastock is it's a software that continues to grow with you. And so if you want to apply it in a little bit of a different way, maybe not, ARMO is not your thing, you want to use a different method, heck, you can go in and create your own methods using the 200-300 indicators that are in the software, a little bit further than what we're going
to do. And a lot of people like to look at different time frames, 15-minute, hourly, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, et cetera. You have all different time frames you can reference in here?
With the real time, you can go intraday, you can go daily. Right here, can you see Metastock again?
I just see the chart on whatever we were looking. Oh, Teva.
Okay. So in the corner here, woohoo, right here, you should be able to see this. You can change it to any time frame that you want.
Oh, there you go. Yep, I can see.
And if you don't see the time frame that you want, there's always custom. So like if you want a 50 tick chart, you can do that. Okay. You just go to custom and say, I want it 50 ticks. So
it's very comprehensive.
It is, yeah.
Very comprehensive.
Okay.
All right, well, let's just see here. Can we go back on a chart here? And
which one? I lost the chat somewhere and all that screen.
Yeah, no, I'll give you one. NBL, not something I'm familiar with right off the bat. NBL.
NBL, Noble Energy.
Nancy, Bobby, and Noble Energy. I guess I'm not familiar with it because I'm not much into energy lately.
Okay.
And today it had a tough day. So the question here would be, is the energy market going out of business, or is it a situation where it's darkest before dawn?
I'd probably look at gas first, right? Mm-hmm. Before I went kind of down. I do like to look at kind of the broader market kind of, and the ETFs give us an easy way to do that as opposed to looking, we could also go look at CLC1, which would be the contract. Just from what I've seen at Noble right now, you're bearish. It's been bearish for about a week and it's fallen apart.
Yeah.
So that may not stick. And again, it's a broken record today. It may not stick, but we're going to trade what we see right now. That doesn't look good. Let's look at gas though. Let's look at actually CLC1. Okay. Oh, I typed it wrong. that's the way
CLC,
the error mess.
CLC?
CL. Okay. So what I'm pulling up is crude light.
Okay.
A continuous contract with a roll and expiration, basically. So
okay.
The way that that's expressed in Refinitiv or Reuters terminology, anytime you want to take a contract and do a continuous, it's uppercase for the symbol, lowercase C1 will get you a roll on expiration.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got it up here at 50.13 today closing.
I'm bearish. Bearish long-term and short-term. Although we did have a bit of a pull up, which was enough to get us into a trade that we would have stopped out on.
Right. Yeah.
There's full disclosure for you, right?
A false break, yeah.
Yeah. Right now, it doesn't look like it's even going to hold.
Actually, the oscillator only really went up to sea level, so it really didn't give you much of a buy there. So you could have avoided it if you used a combination of the two indicators.
I probably would have taken this. You're going to have bad trades. Let's take a look at it. Maybe we wouldn't have. Right here, we're not bullish, right?
Right.
Here, you're bullish.
Oh, okay. Just long term. Yeah.
So everything lines up right here. This is why Rahul on this bar here, right? This is why Rahul, if you remember the rule, we would have been looking to get in above this high and then put a stop in. So we wouldn't have bought this because it didn't have enough strength to penetrate that high.
And this might also be a factor. They came out with the news that China was really not using their energy energy at all. And so the demand was falling off a cliff. And so ASUS was trying to mount a rebound, but then with the news of their demand falling off a cliff, it was too much for it to take.
Yeah, you might be right. We might be in for like a little bit of a ride. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting.
Well, I mean, if it takes out the 50 and 45, I mean, Lord knows where it's going, right?
Well, and if we're, there was a time, and I was living in Silicon Valley at the time, there was a time when Apple, if it went up a quarter of the point, like it affected the GDP, like literally.
Yeah.
So this could be pretty significant.
They were saying that the energy sector weighting 10 years ago on the S&P was much greater than it is today. Because if it was heavy weighted today, we would have an S&P much lower than it is now.
All right. Well, there's a cheerful thought to end the
I know. How about Micron? Here's a stock that the entire planet seems to be trading because it traded 41 million shares today. Micron Technology. Some people are thinking that it's rolling over and it's got further to go. And some people think, obviously, with the 5G coming up, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here.
Well, let me see. I'll tell you what I think. I think it's a wait. Yeah. Again, like everything we've looked at today, I'd be waiting on.
Yeah, they all have moving averages that are way under the market. You're at 46 is the 200-day on Micron. So a lot of these still have some real estate between the current price and the 200-day moving average. So like you were saying, it could be resolved by just going sideways.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing that there's been a lot of people where I'll give myself as a good example case. I have been so much thinking that a top was overdue for this market for years, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not trading that though. up until a couple weeks ago, the market's going to have, when we're kind of looking at these stocks, the market's going to have to go down for more than 2 days in a row for me to kind of be convinced that we're in a bearish market just because of how strong it's been.
Right.
We could, now the people that I'm talking to, there's a couple of them that are saying this is the end of the bull market. I'm not there yet.
Well, I'm saying 3,400 has now been established as a high point. If by next month we haven't taken it out, and if the following months it hasn't taken out, and they start taking out 2,900, I think that case would make a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. I think right now the evidence is more that we're having a pullback and it's testing some support zones, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you're right. Hey, well, how about one last to go one, up? Hey, we're out of
Jeff,
our bull trend.
Yeah, Jeff, can we just do one last one before we sign off? And this is one, the reason I'm mentioning this last one is that, you know, it's obviously a very widely held company. It has fallen down to under where it was priced when they came out with their streaming deal. And this is Disney. And I was wondering if the machine would tell us that maybe Disney is a buy around this 125, 128 area.
You know, I just got back from Disneyland. It's not a buy.
That could be a sign. That's an indicator. The Jeffrey indicator.
Yeah, no, I should have bought some stock before we went, but no, I shouldn't have. Look at this chart. Yeah. I don't see any strength on this yet at all. Not long-term, not short-term. This isn't a play that I would be looking long-term at. Okay. I don't even think I would have taken this latest short here that happened a couple days ago.
Right.
How much was this gap? It went down from, see, when it happens like this, you have to keep in mind, I'm conservative as you can be when I'm trading. 138 is where we closed. We opened at 132.
It gave up the ship, yeah.
So that's a 6 point. At that point, I'm looking at, okay, where's my stop loss? How much am I actually kind of risking? It's actually not as severe of a drop. I don't think I would have played it though. I would have waited, even though it was a right call so far.
I was thinking because the 200-day moving average, I think, was right around 125. Let me just double check.
It's right here. I've got it on the chart.
It's 138. So yeah, it's way above it now. I got you.
We're crossed. I'd be looking at this as resistance right now.
Technically, this thing looks like a mess. Fundamentally, it's a whole different ball game. But right now, the money's coming out, not in.
Do you have a subscription to Disney Plus?
No, but I always like the Beauty and the Beast because I always, related to the Beast. You know.
Well, I don't know. Do you have kids?
I do.
Oh, okay.
They're older now, so we've done our Disney time.
Well, I told you about the 2 to 4 kids, depending on the day, right? We've got Disney Plus.
I got you. Well, we're out of time here for this broadcast, and what I'd like to do again is just reintroduce yourself real quick, if you would, Jeff, and again, the contact information so they could check out Metastock, which is a very, very comprehensive software.
I'd like to say thanks for having me, and thanks for those of you that came here. Again, I don't want to give you like buy and sell signals, but I think I totally avoided that. So you can give us a call.
You have an instrument, and then the person has to use the instrument as they see fit.
Yeah. Give us a, you can can give us a call, 800-882-3040. We'd be happy to mail you some more information or help you get set up for the extended trial. And then the other link that we gave out was just metastock.com/saleschat. So, okay. And that's perfect for if you're international. So I put that on here, but it's not very large. 1-800-882-3040, sure. metastock.com/saleschat. And I just hope if you end up trying it at Metastock, I hope you like it as much as I do. It's a great software program.
Well, thanks a lot for being with us today, Jeff. That's a lot of information, and people could hopefully take something away from it, of course. Right now, I'm going to turn it over to David Kosminer. David, it's back to you.
All right. Thanks, guys. Great discussion today. And just want to give a quick reminder to everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this episode as soon as I can get it posted, and as well as any of the past recordings. Just want to thank my guests again for today. Jeff Gibby of Metastock. It was great to have you here, Jeff, for the first time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Hope to have you back soon. And Jim Kenny of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.